John chapter 12. Today, we're going to see two different responses to Jesus' work in your life. Last week, if you were here, you saw and heard the incredible story of Jesus bringing a dead man back to life. When Jesus brought Lazarus back to life, he had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus showed up and he said those words, "Lazarus, come out." And the Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 44, that the dead man came out. You remember that Jesus spoke. He just said, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who was dead, who had been dead for 4 days, woke up, came back to life, and walked out. Jesus didn't just show that he could cure cancer. He didn't just show that he could cure heart disease or liver failure. Jesus showed that he is the cure for death. And you would think that the people who were there, you would think that the people who heard about it, you would think the world would be ecstatic about what just happened. I mean, Jesus quite literally demonstrated that he can solve life's biggest problem, the problem of death. But the world wasn't ecstatic over this. The world wasn't excited over this. Many were angry. Some were jealous. In fact, if you have your Bibles open, look at the end of John chapter 11. There at the end of John chapter 11, we find that there was a group of men who convened what was the highest court in all of Israel. It's called the Sanhedrin. And look at what they said when that court convened. John chapter 11, verses 47 through 48. Look in your Bibles. It says, "So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and were saying, 'What are we going to do since this man is doing so many signs? If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.'" And skip down to verse 53. Incredible. "From that day on, they," the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, "plotted to kill him." They plotted to kill Jesus. And look at verse 57. "The chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where Jesus was, they should report it so they could arrest him." Jesus brought Lazarus back to life, demonstrating his power over death. And these people said, "He deserves to die for that. We should kill him for doing that. And if anyone knows where he is, you better tell us so that we can arrest him." How incredibly insane is that? But what I want you to see, the reason we mention that is because I want you to see that the events in John chapter 12 are directly related to the events that occurred in John chapter 11. Jesus has done an incredible work. He's done an incredible work in the life of Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. And today, you're going to see from this text, you're going to see two different responses to the work of Christ, two different responses in the text, and two different responses in your life to the work of Christ. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to stand as we read together John chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 down through verse 11. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, reading from the Christian Standard Bible. God's Word says this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. And so they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, and anointed Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair. So the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Verse 4, then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Then a large crowd of Jews learned he was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest had decided to kill Lazarus also, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we're grateful today. We should be grateful every day. Lord, we're so grateful for you. We're grateful for this season where we can be reminded to be grateful, to be thankful. Father, I pray that as we study your word this morning, I pray that you would help us to develop a grateful heart. If we don't have a heart, Father, I pray you would convict us and help us to repent. Help us to live our lives with a sense of gratitude for you, for who you are and what you've done. Father, who are we that you are mindful of us? Who are we? Who am I? That the God of heaven, that the God who created everything, cares about me. Father, that's enough alone to help us have a heart of gratitude. Would you help us to remember that? Today, as we look at your word, Father, speak to our hearts, glorify yourselves, edify the saints, and save the lost. We pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Two different responses to Jesus' work in your life. There are two different responses, and here's the thing. You have to choose one of them. And your actions will demonstrate the position that you've chosen. Your actions will demonstrate the response that you've chosen. Here's the first one. Two different responses to Jesus' work in your life. The first one is this. You can choose to live with a grateful heart. You want to know what my very first thought was when I read through this passage this week as I was preparing for this? My very first thought was directed towards what Mary and Martha did not do. They didn't do what they could have done. Let me share with you what they could have done. Somebody help me remember, how many days was Lazarus dead just before Jesus raised him from the dead? How many days? 4 days. How much stress and heartache and hurt do you think Mary and Martha endured during those 4 days? A lot, right? I mean, a ton. No doubt those were some of their most miserable days that they've ever lived in their life. On top of that, they lost 4 days with their brothers, or with their brother Lazarus, rather. They could have sulked about that. They could have moped about that. They could have complained about those 4 days where they had to live in complete misery, those 4 days where they missed out on their brother. They could have become bitter because they didn't get to experience Lazarus. Jesus didn't show up in time to heal him. So they lost 4 days. Jesus, if only you'd been here, we wouldn't have lost those 4 days. They could have looked at what they didn't have, and if they did that, they would have been absolutely miserable. But they didn't do that. They didn't look at what they didn't have. Instead, they looked at what the Lord had done for them. They looked at what they did have. They saw what Jesus did for them. And more importantly, they saw who Jesus really was. He is the Son of God who has the authority over life and death and everything in between. Here's the lesson. When you see what Jesus has done for you, and when you recognize that He is the Son of God and that He cares about you and He cares about me, when you see that He cares about little old us, man, you instantly have a heart of gratitude. And do you know what a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude, do you know what that does? Well, first, a heart of gratitude serves Jesus in unnoticed ways. Look in your Bible, verse 1 and 2. 6 days before the Passover. By the way, this is the final week of the life of Christ. John devotes much of his gospel to this week, the final week in the life of Christ. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. And Martha was serving. And Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Did you see it? Very simple. The Bible just says Martha was doing what? Serving. That's it. That's all it says. She was serving. Let me ask you, what do you think Martha was doing? Can I show you what I think she was doing? I think, well, we know that they were providing a dinner, right? So I think Martha was in the kitchen cooking. I bet Martha was making the absolute best turkey she could ever make. Y'all know those little Reynolds wrap things? Y'all know what I'm talking about, that you put the turkey into and it keeps the turkey all nice and moist? I bet she used one of those. I bet she was cooking with the best turkey she could make. I bet she was making that good, delicious stuffing. I bet you she pulled out her recipe card and she followed the recipe for that good green bean casserole to a T. Like, she was doing the best. She was giving her best. She was only using the best. They gave a dinner for Jesus and it was only the best. Can I tell you that our fellowship team right now is doing the exact same thing? They were here early this morning. They were serving Jesus, not to get accolades. That's not why they did it. They were serving Jesus, preparing a meal for you in unnoticed ways. Can I tell you that right now, one of our deacons is delivering meals to some members who couldn't be here today. I won't tell you who that is because they wouldn't want me to. Because they're serving Jesus in unnoticed ways. Can I tell you there are scores of people, you're probably one of them, sitting in this room right now that serve Jesus in unnoticed ways, week after week after week. These people will never come up on stage. They'd be mortified if I told you what they did and all the things they've done to serve Jesus. They don't serve to get name dropped. They don't serve to get a pat on the back. They serve for one reason, because they have a grateful heart. They've seen what God has done in their life and they have a grateful heart. A grateful heart serves Jesus in unnoticed ways because it's not about them. They don't care about the accolades. They don't need the credit. Give all the glory to God. It's not about them, it's about Him. A grateful heart also, secondly, serves Jesus in costly ways. Listen, what I'm about to tell you, this next sentence is worth you writing down. It's worth you remembering. Here it is, very simple, four words. Generosity flows from gratitude. Generosity flows from gratitude. I want you to see what Mary did. Look at what happens, verse 3. The Bible says that Mary took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, and anointed Jesus' feet, then wiped His feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. A pound of perfume. Y'all know how much a pound of perfume weighs? A pound. I'm surprised you didn't know that. A pound of perfume weighs exactly a pound. That's a lot of perfume. This is a bottle of cologne that I bought from an incredibly high-end store. Ross's Dress for Less is the name of that store. If you've ever been there, you know there's Macy's or maybe Saks Fifth Avenue. That's way up here. We don't go there. There's Macy's and JCPenney down here. There's Walmart here. There's Goodwill here. And Ross's Dress for Less is about here. That's what's there. This I think I gave $7.92 for this bottle of cologne. I only wear it on the most special of occasions. So birthdays, anniversaries, when the Royals win the World Series, I only wear it on the most special. It'll last for a long time. It'll last for a real long time. I won't use it again for 30 years. This bottle of cologne, it was quite literally on the clearance rack at Ross's Dress for Less. $7 and whatever it was, 92 cents. I share this to tell you this. This is not what Mary poured on the feet of Jesus. She didn't use the cheap stuff. Mary offered a pound of perfume. And according to verse 3, that was pure and expensive. It was a pound of perfume. Verse 5, look at verse 5. Verse 5 tells us that pound of perfume was worth 300 denarii. A denarius would be one denarii. A denarius was what an average worker earned for one full day. Which means this is 300 days worth of work. If you work 6 days in 1 year, 6 days a week in 1 year, you will work 312 days per year. That's 300 days worth of work. That's over a year's salary for us. I promise you, she didn't buy this pure and expensive nard at Ross's Dress for Less. This was a costly, costly gift that Mary gave to Jesus. And I can almost see this, like in my mind's eye, I can almost see the scene. Mary is looking at Jesus. She looks over at Lazarus. Mark's gospel tells us that this dinner occurred in Simon the leper's house. Like, he was there. Simon the leper was there. He wasn't a leper anymore because Jesus had healed him. So Mary sees Simon, the former leper. She sees Lazarus, the former dead man. She's looking at the work of Jesus, and I can almost see her like walk into her room. In my mind's eye, I can almost see her walk into her room, look around, trying to find something, anything that she can give to Jesus, anything that she can use to show how good he is and how grateful she is, anything worthy enough just to show him how much she loved him. Can you see it? She walks into her room. She's faced with a choice. Do I give Jesus my best, or do I bring out the cheap stuff? And I can almost see, again, this is in my mind's eye, I can almost see Mary picking up that pound of expensive and pure perfume, and I can almost see a huge smile coming over her face, because she knows who Jesus is. She knows that he is the Son of God, and she's seen the work of God in her life, and she concludes, ah, he's worth it. And I can almost imagine that Mary even thinks, I wish I could give more. This is the best I got. I'm going to give him my best. And so she walks into the room where Jesus is, and man, can you imagine? Can you just see the scene? She gets down on her knees in front of Jesus, and she takes this pound of perfume, and she pours it out on the feet of Jesus. Do you know that the Hebrew word for worship means to bow down? Did you know that? You know the Greek word for worship means to recognize and celebrate who God is, to encounter God and to praise him. Do you know that's exactly what Mary was doing? She was worshiping Jesus. She knelt down, anointed his feet with the world's finest, the world's purest, the world's most expensive perfume, and she poured it all out. So much so that she had to use her hair to dry his feet. Man, what a grateful heart. And now, the house that was filled with the aroma of turkey and stuffing and green bean casserole, the house that was filled with the aroma of dinner was now filled with the aroma of Mary's worship. She had worshiped Jesus. This was a costly gift, but remember what I told you, generosity flows from gratitude. This was costly. Like it cost Mary a lot, but Mary didn't care. Her focus was not on what she was going to lose. She wasn't concerned about what she would lose if she dumped the perfume out on the feet of Jesus, on his feet. She wasn't worried about what she was going to lose. Mary and Martha weren't focused on what they did not have. They weren't focused on what they lost. Mary did not cry over spilled perfume. She rejoiced that she was able to use her gift to glorify God. Her focus was on Jesus. Martha's focus was on Jesus, and he was worth it. And my friends, you have to hear this. He is worth it in your life. He is worth the sacrifice that you have to make. He is worth aligning your life to his word. He is worth following. He's worth it. He's worth your best every single day. He's worth it. You can choose to live with a grateful heart, or you can go the other direction. You can choose to live with an ungrateful heart. Mary and Martha, their act of worship, they were responding to the work that they saw Jesus do in their life. Like there's a direct connection, like I told you earlier, a direct connection between what happened in John 11 and the events that happened in the first part of John 12. Mary and Martha were there. Like they were at the tomb. They had buried their brother in the tomb 4 days earlier. They were there. They watched Jesus show up and walk to the tomb. They watched him pray, and they watched him yell out, "Lazarus, come forth," and they saw their brother come back to life. They were firsthand witnesses to it. Do you know who else was there? The disciples. Which means this, Judas. Judas was there. Judas watched the same thing that Mary and Martha watched. He saw it all unfold right before his eyes. He heard Jesus yell at the tomb, "Lazarus, come out." He watched Lazarus come out. He saw it all, but Judas was not grateful. He went the other direction. He was incredibly ungrateful. And his ungrateful heart was revealed with really two actions. An ungrateful heart is full of criticism and entitlement. That's what Judas did. But understand, this isn't like, I don't mean like constructive criticism. This isn't the I guess, the good criticism. This was unfair criticism. Beyond that, it was unfair and ungodly criticism. Look at what he says. Verse 4, look in your Bible. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Judas had the audacity to look at what Mary did with her own possessions. And then Judas had the audacity to conclude that Mary wasted her own resources on Jesus. That's what he concluded. Mary had wasted the perfume on Jesus, and she should have sold it, and she should have given it to the poor. You can almost see how haughty he thinks he is, how prideful he is, how holy he's trying to be. But listen, he didn't care about the poor. That was fake news. Judas is the original fake news. Judas didn't care about the poor. He was lying out his teeth. He only cared about himself. He wanted to look holy, but he only cared about himself. He was unfairly critical, and he was incredibly entitled. He wanted that which wasn't his. That's what verse 6 tells us. Look at verse 6. We've already seen the scene. Judas has already accused Mary of wasting all her resources on Jesus, and she should care more about the poor like he does. But look at verse 6. John tells us he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, because he was a, what does your Bible say? Thief. He was in charge of the money bag, and he would steal part of what was put in it. Judas was a thief. In his mind, Mary should have stolen that perfume so he could steal the money that didn't belong to him and use it for himself. An ungrateful heart is one that is filled with and fueled by criticism and entitlement. And it's also full, secondly, of jealousy and of hate. Look at the jealous and really the hate-filled plan of the chief priests. Look in your Bible, verse 9. It says, "Then a large crowd of Jews learned that he was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead." By the way, you need to know that when Jesus works in your life, it is an evangelistic witness to the lost. You better show it off when Jesus works in your life. There's not a recorded word of Scripture, in Scripture, of Lazarus. I cannot find a single word that Lazarus said in Scripture. But he was an evangelistic witness to the lost. The Bible says that a large crowd was coming because Jesus was there and because they wanted to see for themselves the work of Jesus and the life of Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. Verse 10, "But the chief priests had decided to kill Lazarus also, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus." Now, wait a minute. Hold up. You got to look in your Bible at this. Look at verse 9. The Jews came to see Lazarus, and then John tells us again several times, he's already told us that Lazarus was the one who Jesus had raised from the dead. And the chief priests were so jealous, so hate-filled, that their plan was to look at Lazarus, the one whom Jesus had raised from the dead, and kill him again. What did they think would happen if they did that? Did they think that Jesus could not raise Lazarus again? How illogical did they have to be to look at that and say, oh, well, we'll just kill him because he's already died and Jesus brought him back to life? How illogical. But I want you to know that you can't see things clearly when you're filled with jealousy and hatred. They couldn't see their own illogical plan. They were so filled with jealousy over Jesus and over Lazarus. They were so filled with hatred over Jesus because, verse 11, he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. Do you remember last week that I mentioned one of the reasons that Jesus wept in John chapter 11? Remember we talked about that Jesus didn't weep because Lazarus had died? That's not why he cried. Jesus wept. One of the reasons Jesus wept was because people didn't recognize who he was. They didn't see him as the Son of God. They didn't recognize him. But by the beginning of John chapter 12, by the end of this story, people are starting to recognize who Jesus is. Mary and Martha, they recognized who Jesus was. And they worshiped him from a heart of gratitude. And the chief priests, well, they recognized who he was too. And they went the other direction. They plotted his murder. We'll kill him. We'll take him out. So the question that I want you to consider today is this. Like, examine your heart. Do you recognize who Jesus is? Like, do you see him for who he is? If you see him for who he is, you will have a grateful heart. And if you have a grateful heart, you'll do those things. You'll serve him in unnoticed ways. You don't need the credit. You'll serve him in costly ways. No gift is too great for Jesus. But if you don't have a grateful heart, if you have an ungrateful heart, your life might be marked as full of criticism, criticizing everybody everywhere, unfairly criticizing, full of entitlement, full of jealousy, and full of hate. I don't know about you, but look at that list. Which one do you want to be like? Which person do you want to be? Like for me, I want to serve Jesus in unnoticed and costly ways. I don't care what the world says about me. I don't need credit. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care. I want to be about Christ, and I want to serve him in ways that only he knows about. I want him to get the glory for that. I want to serve him in costly ways. I want to give him my best and my all. I want to sacrifice so I can see the gospel advance. I want to sacrifice so I can tell the world about Jesus. I want to pour out all that I am and all that I have in the same way that Mary poured out that expensive perfume at the feet of Jesus. That's how I want to pour out my life before Jesus. I want to worship at his feet like Mary did. I want to serve him like Martha did. And I want to run as far as I possibly can from that second group. I want to run as far as I can from an ungrateful heart. I want to run as far as I can from someone who is full of unfair criticism, full of entitlement. I don't want to be anything like that. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to be filled with hate. Let me tell you this. I don't want to be like Judas. And I don't think you do either. I want to be thankful. I want to be grateful. And here's what you have to hear. The Lord could choose to never bless me again. Like he could choose that today. He could choose to never bless me again, to take away everything that I have. And from this day forward, I still will have every single reason to praise him and pour out my life before him. You want to know why? Because he saved me. Do y'all remember, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you saw a picture of my friend Jaji from Southeast Asia. If you were here last Sunday night, you saw another picture of him. Do you remember when I asked him what he thought happened when we die? And do you remember Jaji's answer, two words? I lose, he said. Man, I will praise Jesus the rest of my life. I will serve him the rest of my life, even if I lose everything. I will serve him and praise him the rest of my life because I don't lose when I die. The Bible says to live is Christ and to die is gain. So when I die, I don't lose. I get heaven when I die, all because of Jesus. And I want you to be there with me. I want you to be in heaven with me. So let me share with you the gospel in 6 sentences. Are you ready for it? The Bible says that God created us to be with Him. He made you to be with Him. You see that in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, He walked with them in the cool of the day. God created you to be with Him, but there comes a problem. The second problem is this. Our sins separate us from God. And everybody has sinned. There's not a person in this room who hasn't sinned. There's not a person on this earth that hasn't sinned. Our sins separate us from God. Which brings us to our third sentence. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. And that's a really big problem. Because good deeds is all we have to offer. But no amount of good deed can remove my sin. No amount of pouring pure perfume on Jesus' feet can remove my sin. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. But there's good news. Brings us to our fourth sentence. Paying the price for our sins, Jesus died and rose again. And the Bible says that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. And hear this, life with Jesus starts now and it lasts forever. This is the gospel. And hear me when I say this, believers and unbelievers alike, we need to hear the gospel every single day. And I promise you, you will hear the gospel every single Sunday from this pulpit. Believers and unbelievers alike, we have to hear the gospel. The unbeliever has to hear the gospel so they can be saved. And the believer has to hear the gospel so they can remember and be reminded to worship Christ with a grateful heart. That's why we have to hear the gospel, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, for you, for me. He didn't have to do that, but He did. You want to know why He did? One word, 4 letters, L-O-V-E. He did that because He loves you and He loves me. Hey, I don't know how the Lord's moving in your life. If you need to place your faith in Christ and be saved, I'm going to be right down here. I would love to pray with you. If you need to come up to the altar and repent for having an ungrateful heart, maybe that's you. Maybe the Lord's convicted you of that this morning. Come on up, pray at the altar, kneel at the altar and pray. Bow just like Mary did. Maybe you just take care of that business with the Lord right where you're standing. You don't have to come up to pray. You can pray right where you are. Here's what I want you to pray. I want you to consider which heart do you have, a grateful heart or an ungrateful heart? If you have a grateful heart, praise God for it and ask Him to help you keep that grateful heart. If you have an ungrateful heart, repent. Repent and ask God to help you see the gospel with great clarity so that you can have and live with a grateful heart. To God be the glory, and all God's people said, let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the day, thankful for Your word. Move in our lives, move in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Let's stand together.